You know, it seems like that with all the business of life and the challenges of time we have, sometimes we don't seem to have enough hours in the day to do everything that we need to be done. So this leads us to having to make some choices sometimes. Unfortunately, the enemy knows this, and he tries to overwhelm us so that he can get us away from the Word of God. And if we don't consistently read the Word, we have some problems. So what I want to talk about tonight, it's all in the Word. Now, turn to Proverbs 20, 22. Proverbs 20, 22. Proverbs 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And I think this is, they're having the NIV here because the New Living Translation, because that's all that's on that computer back there. But I was reading that from the New King James. Now I want to read this from the Message Translation. Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. Now these are words that the King Solomon has put down in the Word of God. I learned this when I was in Bible school. They said he was supposed to be the wisest man that ever lived. I don't know. But what he says here is so basic and elementary that we may tend to overlook it. One person said that the person who does the basics will be successful. Now, you know, another person has said our success is hidden in our daily routine. If you've ever been on a sports team, how many of you have ever been on a sports team? One of the things that they always talk about is the basics. You know, like, the basic stance just about in any sport is to get your body situated where you have your weight distributed over the top of your feet in a position where you can move one direction or the other without a whole lot of problem. So you're agile. And, you know, every sport that I ever played, when we would come back for the next year, we're the same guys that had been there before. But the coach, the first thing he did was go over the basics of stance and football, blocking, tackling. And, you know, the same thing with basketball, the same thing in baseball, same thing in track. I did them all. My wife says, I am a man of all seasons, all sports, football, basketball, baseball, and track. Forget soccer. Although it is becoming a very popular sport now. But in my day, nobody played the game. But it is becoming a popular sport. I don't know nothing about it. I did go one time. I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. Some of y'all got that. About all they do at a hockey game is fight anyway. But I don't understand that game. Those games, but they're not from where I grew up. We didn't have no ice. We grew up playing baseball and running and all of that. But a lot of people, I mean, now I was talking to Tim Rogers at him and Rhonda Rogers, they're over Mexico, Raymond, Mexico. He grew up in Canada. He is as comfortable on a pair of skates. He's played hockey and skate. He's as comfortable on a pair of skates as I am with my basketball shoes on a basketball court. Some of them went to the ice rink and I watched him. Then he could fly around that place and he'd come sliding up and he'd turn sideways and throw ice and stop. And he would spin around and skate backwards and, but he had learned the basics. You know, we have to learn the basics in order to continue to receive from God. You know, how many of you played sports in school? What did you have to do to be successful? Over and over and over and over again, you practice. You run the same play over and over again until you got it right. In fact, one of the great NFL coaches said, Vince Lombardi, he said, I will give you my playbook. And if my players execute that play to perfection, you can't stop it. That's because everybody does their job. So to be successful in our Christian life, we need to learn the basics. Continually reading the Word of God. Continually praying and believing God. Continually exercising our faith in the promises that God has given us. Hey, keep going to church and worshiping God. Amen. Continue to walk in love toward one another. That's just basic. That's just basic Christianity right there. You know, if you keep exercising the basics that I just talked about in God, it'll eventually bring a solution to you, to your problems, your difficulties, and all the things that you encounter. You know, our first basic is consistently paying attention to the Word of God. It is the foundation for our whole Christian life. So if we don't deal correctly with the Word, then our foundation is wrong. Now, I don't know about over here in Oklahoma City in this area. I don't know about this area, but I know about our area there around where the church is built, all that area around there. It's got a bunch of clay, and if you don't do your foundation right, you're gonna have trouble with your house. I mean, our student housing across the street, I don't know how many of those apartments we've had to go in and drill a hole and pump stuff down in the ground to lift the slab back up, and that whole addition back there, they have trouble because that. And when we built SDC 1, SDC 2, we had to take out dirt and bring dirt in and build a slab. We called it. That's why. And when we built the big church, we had out on the east side there, where a parking lot and stuff is now, and a road over there. But they had a mountain of dirt, as they called it, Hagen's Mountain, because That church is a 450-foot square. And those dirt movers came in there, and they took out 3 feet of dirt. And then we brought in dirt, and we brought in lime, and we brought in some other stuff, different kinds. And they had sheep foot in there, and they mixed that stuff up and rolled it and then till it up and put some more lime in it and some stuff, and then they roll it back out flat until when they finished, that dirt was as hard as concrete. I mean, you could go out there, it's as hard as concrete. But if we're going to have a firm foundation for that building, we got to do that. And then we had to drill piers. And we had to go down Now, some of the engineers said, well, the brown shale is tough. Well, it was. But Mr. Harrison, he said, I've been drilling foundation holes in this Oklahoma soil for 30-something years. And he said, if you don't go to blue shale, you're going to have foundation problems. We went down to blue shale. Some of the piers underneath that. Any of you ever been over to seen the big church building over there? So, some of those piers underneath that building are 63 feet deep. And there's three of them that are about 55 to 60 feet deep. And they're 6 foot in diameter. And they got big round, a cage of rebar. I think they're 2 inches, 2 inch rebar, and all built in a big cage. And they go, they're that long, 60 feet down, 50 feet down. And they had to pump that thing full of concrete. But you know what? They had to put a vibrator down in the bottom of there to make sure that that concrete didn't honeycomb. And they say that that building is so strong that you could drive a semi in one corner of it and never feel it in the other corner of it. But if you've been over and walked through, we don't have any cracks in any walls or nothing, because there's nothing that's moved. Why? Because of the foundation. What I'm trying to say to you, if your foundation isn't right in the Word of God, then you're going to have trouble. Yes, amen. See, our quality of our Christian life depends upon what we do with the Word of God. See, 4:20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear. Now, the easy to read version says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Contemporary English version says, my child, listen carefully to everything I say. Notice that these translations say, pay attention, listen carefully. You know, as we were growing up, and then as myself as a parent, I've done it. But as I was growing up, I've had my dad say to me, listen to me, pay attention to what I'm saying. Anybody ever had that said to you? Anybody ever said it to one of your children or grandchildren? Yep, I've said it to both. You know, maybe you were hearing, but you weren't listening. Come on now. You know, I remember one day I was in Bible college, and we had a championship flag football game coming up, and we were playing. I went to the school I went to. We had junior college and there with the Bible school, the Bible college, Bible university. And we were going to be playing the junior college portion of those guys in a flag football game for the championship. Well, I'm hearing the class, but I wasn't listening. I could hear different people talking and stuff. And I wasn't listening. All of a sudden, I heard the professor say, Hagin, what do you think about that? I had no earthly idea what they're talking about. I heard their voices, but I wasn't listening. And a lot of wives accuse us men of doing that. He wouldn't have told that, Bill? Well,
selective listening.
Yeah, she says I have selective hearing. Any of you other wives say that? Pam's pointing at Tyler. I'm sorry. But, you know, we tend to do that sometimes. Did you ever notice you could be watching? I noticed it. I don't watch a lot of television except ball games and stuff like that. And then if they happen to be a good Western on with John Wayne or some of the old guys, you know, not these new guys, some of the old guys, they have some good ones. Randolph Scott, oh, he's a good one. Yeah, Randolph Scott, them guys, all those. But, you know, I have noticed that when a commercial comes on, I'm hearing it, but I'm not listening to it. Any of you ever do that? And the minute it goes off, you plug right back in to the program. You know, we do that with the Word of God sometimes. He says here, incline your ear to the Word of God. Incline, that means, hey, turn on the hearing. Listen closely. It is a life or death situation. You know, if you were in a life and death situation and somebody is telling you how to save yourself, I guarantee you that you'd pay close attention to what they were saying. Well, this is a life and death situation. We need to pay close attention to what God is telling us through his writers in the Word of God. You know, we need to put forth some extra effort to make sure that we listen to the Word of God. What it's saying. Make the Word a priority. Cultivate a daily routine of reading the Word. You know, how many of you have ever been on a workout program? Or maybe some of you are still on some type of workout program. It is a routine. You know, you do that, and if you don't do that, you don't feel like your day has been complete. You need to get that way with reading the Word of God. So that you can't lay your head down on the bed, on the pillow at night to go to sleep if you hadn't done your daily reading. You know, when I was in college, my roommate, all of a sudden, he jumped out of bed and started doing push-ups. And I said, what in the world are you doing? You know, he woke me up. I was about half asleep, you know. He said, I haven't done my 100 push-ups today. I said, well, hurry up. You're making too much noise. But see, he had a daily routine of doing that. We need a daily routine of reading the Word. Now, if we want to have a successful Christian life, we need to continually look into the Word. See here, don't let them depart from your eyes. New Living said, don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. The Message version says, keep my message in plain view at all times. Have you ever noticed that it's easy to read the Bible when you're here in church? But when you get home and you got a lot of things going on and this is happening and that's happening and grandkids are hollering or kids are hollering or something going on, the phone ringing and all kinds of stuff. You ever notice that it's harder to concentrate and read the Word? Anybody ever notice that but me?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
See, you need to come to a point that you have a time set to look at the Word of God. It says, keep it before your eyes. Do you realize we're a visual generation? We are a visual people. We're moved by what we see and hear. And the world knows this. And they do a fantastic job of keeping visuals before our eyes with advertisements in the magazines, on the TV, on the billboards, all of this. See, they keep that in front of it. In fact, when I was in high school, I thought about going into politics, and I was really involved in it in high school and even went to the state capitol and went to some of the sessions and went into the caucus sessions with some of them. And one of the things that they say is more important than what the candidates say is name recognition. That's why you see all of the signs, all of the same name. All mean you drive down the name recognition. So when you go in that voting booth and you don't really know who to vote for, all of a sudden your mind is triggered. Hey, well, maybe this is a good guy because he, man, I look, remember all the signs? Remember everywhere I looked, there was a sign that had his name on it. Come on now. That's the truth. That's, in fact, and when you do a television commercial or a radio commercial, if it's a 30-minute commercial, and I've done them for church, 30-second commercial. Thank you, babe. Yeah, 30-minute, no. 30-second commercial, they say make sure you get the name of the product in there at least three times. Minimum of three times. So that means if I was doing a commercial for Rhema Bible Church, Oklahoma City, a 30-second commercial, in my dialogue, I have to get the name, Rhema Bible Church, 8921 Northwest Expressway, Oklahoma City. I've got to get that in there at least three times, or they say there's no use of even having no use of paying for the commercial. That's a minimum. Just look at if it's a TV commercial, if you notice, the name of the product is up there. Continue, and if people talk about the product, they mention the name of the product over and over again. Anybody ever, now that you think about it, you remember that? Why? Recognition, visual. So the enemy knows this, so he tries to keep us from keeping the Word of God in front of us. Guard our eyes. Do you realize that what you continually see affects what you believe and how you believe? See, keep looking at the Word until it's in your heart. You know, says, thy Word have I hid in my heart. You know, renew your mind, it says, with the Word of God. It's with the heart we believe and receive the promises. Mark 11:23, of course, that's our cornerstone scripture. Say to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Romans 10:9, for salvation, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Look, there's talking about believing. We can't afford, as Christian, to look at certain things because they'll draw us away from looking at the Word. We can't afford to spend time listening to the talk shows all the time or watching the news or programs and expect to have strong faith. Now, I didn't say there's anything wrong with that, but you can't be consumed with that. You got to have some time for the Word. And then you can't entertain ungodly advice and then expect to have the power of God in your life. You can't afford to go certain places because the influence there will cause you to act contrary to the Word of God. Amen. You know, when it's all said and done, what you see will affect what you believe. What you believe in your heart will affect what you receive. It's that easy. I know coaches would come through and they would say, you know, coach come by and say, okay, Hagin, I want you to concentrate. I want you to see yourself. See yourself catching a touchdown pass. See yourself winning. I mean, I don't know whether any of y'all had any coaches like that. Any of you have coaches that say, come by and say, any of you ever heard my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, preach? You ever hear him talking when he'd be teaching on healing? He'd tell us, man, see yourself healed. Anybody ever heard him say that? See, what's he doing? He's trying to get you to see yourself in light with the Word of God. The Word of God says, by his stripes, we were healed. Not going to be, not want to be, we were healed. Miss Shirley sitting right there. She got a hold of those scriptures back in 1978. And the doctors told you what? You had
3 months.
3 months. You had what kind of cancer was that you had? Melanoma that had metastasized internally. They told her 3 months. 1978. This 2018, there she sits. But she'll tell you, she got a hold of the word, and she kept it continually in front of her eyes. And she came healed because of that.
My head said it's too good to be true, but my heart said it is.
She said her head said it's too good to be true, but her heart said this is true, because she didn't know that. She, even though she was a Christian and in church, she'd never been taught these scriptures. And they brought her from death's door. Amen. Because keeping the word in front of you. And she does. She still keeps the word in front of her daily. I've known her and Noel for years. He's already went to be with the Lord. But praise the Lord. We'll get there one of these days. He did. Amen. Now, the word of God contains life and health. Now, I want you to notice in this 22, verse 22. For they are what? Life to those who find them, and what?
Health
to all their flesh. See, some people want to spiritualize that. That doesn't say spirit, that says flesh. That's my physical body. The word. He sent his word and healed them, it says. Amen. The New Century Version says, they are the key to life for those who find them. They bring health to the whole body. Amen. The Living Bible says, for they will mean real life for you and radiant health. The Message says, those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. Amen. See, I want you to notice it didn't say anything about the spirit. It talked about the body and the soul. Remember, Paul says there that we are spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Our prayer life and communing with God keeps the spirit man alive on the inside. But we keep the soul and the body alive by staying in the Word and letting the Word of God. See, John 10:10 says, Jesus said this, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Not just life, abundant life. The New International Version says, have it to the full. Oh, I like that. The Wade Translation says, have it to the fullest measure. And I like William's translation. Have it till it overflows. Oh, man, that's good. God wants our whole life to be filled with the Word of God until it manifests in abundant life in every area of our life. See, we need to understand that God's Word is the foundation. Actually, the foundation will determine the size of the building.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
And when you talk to the engineers and the people that are building skyscrapers, you have to have a foundation to go down far enough to hold that. Somebody was talking about some building here a while back. Somebody said something about it. So, well, we would put another story on it, but the foundation won't hold it. It wasn't built to be a two-story building. It was only built to be a one-story building. Now, there's a lot of buildings that are built with the foundation that if you want to, you can add a second story. But you have to, before you can have a three-story building, you got to have a foundation that'll hold a three-story building.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
The foundation that you have in the Word of God will determine how big a life that you have for God.
Amen.
How much of the promises of God are working in your life. You know, In other words, if you want to have the good life that he's talking about, the abundant life that he's talking about, then you got to build a good foundation with the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, having the Word of God means life or death, health or sickness, prosperity or poverty.
Amen.
Being bound or being free depends on the Word of God that you have inside of you. You know, so many times when we come up against the pressures of life, so many times people say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, you can tell that person hasn't been putting the Word in them. They don't have a foundation of the Word. Because if you got the foundation of the Word, when obstacles come against you, the first thing out of your mouth, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Right.
Yes.
I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
I am an overcomer
in
Christ.
Yes.
Paul said that I always end up with the victory.
Yes.
You know, Peter, in 2 Peter 1:4 said, exceeding great and precious promises, through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now the New Life Translation says, of that same scripture says, these promises are great. These promises are of great worth, and no money can buy them. These promises, through these promises, you can have God's own life in you. The Word of God should be more precious to you than anything.
Yes, amen.
Hello.
Amen.
I say, don't y'all get upset because the child's making noise. I learned to preach whenever they didn't have no nursery.
Amen.
I just told them, sit down and be quiet. Hey, see, that's our problem. We let different things say, that doesn't bother me at all. Some of you, hey, you need to learn not to let stuff distract you because the enemy trying to distract you. And besides that, kids get more than you think they do. Craig, he's 2 years old. He'd be there. We'd be in crusades. He'd be there playing with them little Hot Wheel cars. All of a sudden, he starts putting them all up and jumps up in the seat. And he said, Papa's getting ready to pray for the sick. He loved to watch his papa pray for the sick. I think that's why he has such a healing anointing himself on his life. You know, hey, sometimes we don't realize these kids get more out of them you think because they're listening. We're being distracted by everything and we're hearing but not listening. I didn't think he's hearing the word that his grandfather was saying. But he would know. He'd be hearing it. He'd know. Oh, he's getting ready to pray for sick. Put him up. Sit down in that chair and watch. Come on. You know, I learned to preach when I didn't have a microphone. With this crowd, I don't have to have this microphone. I can preach. When I learned to preach, that's where I had to preach. You know, all you had was one aisle and a door back there, and you had two little sections here, you know, and the place might hold 60 people at the most, you know, and you didn't have all the soundproofing and all of that stuff either. if it started raining, and you could hear it on the roof, half the time those buildings had 10 roofs on them anyway. See, I've been around a while. I've been preaching for 60 years. Hey, today we must determine what we're going to do with the Word of God. The Word of God is the key that unlocks all of the blessings of God for our lives.
Hallelujah.
You know, we need to realize through the Word of God, we don't need to be living on barely get along street. Let's move up on to Hallelujah Avenue.
Amen.
Our Abundant Life Boulevard. Move up. Rise to another level. The secret is the Word of God. It's not having some great spiritual experience. It's not following after what some preacher said. It's not how great your prayer life is. And thank God we need to have a great prayer life. It's not found on waiting for a special manifestation of the Spirit. All those things are good, and there's nothing wrong with them. But the most important thing is the Word of God. What are we doing with the Word of God?
Yes,
will you continually feed on the Word? Will you continually hide the Word of God in your heart so that when obstacles come your way, when stuff comes your way, you automatically begin to quote the Word? You know, when you're playing sports, you have to get to the point that you don't even have to think about it. When they call the play, it just automatically, you know where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. And I guess I was maybe different because I always knew what the guys beside of me were going to do. You know, I'm back in the running. Back in my day when I played ball, you know, we had a quarterback, and then you run the T formation or the wing T. That's what we ran back in the day. And they're all behind you back here. You know, the quarterback's here, and I'm back here. He calls 22 dive. Well, I'm the two back, okay? That means that I'm going through the two hole, okay? That's between the guard and the tackle, if you didn't know it. No, that's between the center and the guard, excuse me. 2, 4, 6, 8, okay. And I'm going that way. And my buddy here, he's standing here with me, Hagin, I forgot, what did I do on this play? I said, you're going to lead me through the hole. That's what you're going to do. And I get up there and knock the fire out of somebody. Because that was what he was supposed to do. He goes through first. And the center and the guard is supposed to take care of that. And he's supposed to go through and get the linebacker. And by that time, I'm supposed to be up in high gear. And I can cut and go wherever I need to go. But you see, I don't have time. The quarterback saying, set. I don't have time. No, wait a minute. Let's see. Two is that? No, that two. Two, is it four? Two. Where's two hole? By that time, the play's done gone. See, that's what you have to do with the Word in your life. When the enemy comes in with all of his junk, and he will, you don't have time. Oh, I better go get the Word. No, you need to already have it so much inside of you that it automatically comes. It's an automatic thing.
Amen.
It's just, I say it all the time, it's just like the multiplication table. 9 times 9.
81.
How many of you had to think about it? It just automatically was there the minute you heard it. 7 times 7.
49.
You don't even think. It's just there, right? Why? Because you don't pay attention to them over there. Somebody got it wrong.
They used the calculator.
Huh? Yeah, it's one of them young kids that's used to using a calculator instead of. I'm sorry, I don't mean it that way. I'm sorry, guys. But you went over that so many times. Over that multiplication table until it became a part of you.
Right?
That's what we need to do with the Word of God. It needs to become a part of us so that it flows out of us whenever we need it. Amen. Anybody get anything out of what I said tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. We're going to make a confession together. All right? If you're ready, make a fresh commitment to the Word tonight. Say this with me. I receive the advice that God gives in Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. I commit to read and study the Word on a daily basis. I will pay attention to the Word of God. I will incline my ear to listen to the Word of God. I will not let the word of God
depart from my eyes.
I will hide the word of God in my heart.
Thank you, Father,
for helping me
to live my life
based on the word of God.
Amen.
Or so be it. That's what amen means. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Well, I trust you got something from that tonight.
You know, sometimes we can just take a couple of scriptures and really break them down and get some really good nuggets out of it, you know.
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Hey, if there's anybody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want you to do so before you leave here tonight. Or if there's somebody here that needs to rededicate your life to God, we want you to do that before you leave here tonight. Anybody? Well, praise the Lord. Anybody would love to receive the Holy Spirit? We believe in receiving the Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with the tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit tonight?
Praise God, praise God.
Well, anybody want to be prayed for healing? We'll minister to you. We'll pray for you. The Word of God says they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Just stand right over there. Praise the Lord. And hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. We lay hands on our sister. Father, knowing that the power of God's flowing in this body to effect a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Father, we lay hands on Doris right now. I thank you that the healing power of God, that healing power flowed out of his garment and went into the lady with the issue of blood. I thank you that same power flowing into this body and will drive out every sickness and every disease in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Raise your hands and thank God for healing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to do this all over again next Sunday night. Brother Tad will be here. Hey, Miss Jane, go find our first-time guests, and we got a special gift for them, okay? Praise the Lord. They may be outside with the baby, so go check them out, all right? Praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody. Hey, thanks, everybody, for all that you did to make our luncheon or supper time or whatever it was really good. Get your dishes. All right, God bless. We'll see you next week.